also want to thank Frank for offering to be on standby this Sunday to preach for me in the event I was not able to. I really appreciate that. I know that he has a good sermon tucked in his back pocket, and y'all are sure to hear it at some point. So thank you very much, Frank. And as you can tell, I still have a little bit of sinusitis, not catchy, on antibiotics. So anyway, I sound like I'm talking in a barrel, at least to me. So hopefully not to you. As this church approaches its stewardship campaign in November, the board requested that the month of October be a time of intentional community prayer, prayer devoted to the future ministry of this church and the means by which to support that ministry next year. Because the work that this church does, the ministry of this church, is indeed up to you and the movement of the Spirit within your hearts, the place from which your most authentic prayers emerge. So, in preparation for the harvest season, I wanted to structure some of our worship experiences in October around prayer. Now, the first Sunday, we talked about the importance of prayer from the heart, praying from your authentic self. The tax collector in the story that Jesus told, who cried to God from his heart for mercy, who humbled himself before God and prayed without ego. Jesus was very clear about this. The tax collector was the one who went home justified, right with God and with himself. Last week, we talked about prayer from difficult places, the times when very bad things happen, places of suffering for ourselves and for others. We walked with Job. We sat in the ashes with him. We stopped talking for a while. And we reflected more deeply on the mystery of prayer from places of loss and loneliness. That yes, like birth coming into this world, life is indeed painful and messy. It hurts. But perhaps life is not the pain, not the mess, not the blood, sweat, and the tears, but perhaps life is what we pull out of the mess, what we are able to pull out of the pain. We also talked about what your prayers might look like if you didn't use any words. This Sunday, well, my last Sunday preaching at MCC Nova during the month of October, Reverend Elder Rochelle Brown will be preaching here next Sunday. She is MCC's interim moderator and denominational leader. And as you can tell, we already have the sanctuary set up for maximum capacity, which is great. It will accommodate almost 100 people. And just like molecules that will spread out into various directions. So when you have the seats to spread out, everybody seems to spread out. It would have been my wish and desire that we got in a little bit closer, but that's okay. I understand that. The following Sunday, our clergy intern, Wendy Hamilton, will be preaching here October 29. She will also be leading a conversation on race, faith, and social justice after worship that Sunday. I will not be back here on a Sunday until November the 5th, the first Sunday of our stewardship campaign. And so this is kind of my last chance to give you something to think about and something to pray about beforehand. And so now, let us pray. Holy God, we gather together here today to remember ourselves, to renew our courage and hope, our faith, to remind us of love, to look, see around us and know that we are not alone in our journey and our struggles. To remind us of love, to take the next best step toward our best self. We are told to come boldly before your throne of grace. And so we do so today to ask your blessings and to ask that you grant us a heightened awareness of those blessings all around us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Family trees are funny things, aren't they? You start climbing up in them, and you never know what you might find. Now, I remember an assignment in school. We were supposed to draw our family tree. Now, I know some of y'all may have heard me tell this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I want to hear it once more myself. I put together my family tree And when all was said and done and put down on paper, my family tree didn't look quite right. It didn't fork in a few places. Now, I come from mountain people on my mom's side and sharecroppers on my dad's side, and first cousins got married here and there on a few branches. Now, that's not unusual, not to be ashamed of. Perfectly legal in Virginia and 18 other states. So, my people knew that. They kept track of it. But it meant that the tree spread out a little bit and then turned back in upon itself in the places where the grandparents were shared. Now, I don't think I ever turned in that assignment. It really would have stood out among the more bushy family trees that the students had. Now, the other thing is, you don't have to shake anyone's family tree very hard before one of us will fall out of it. Yes, there are GLBT, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, questioning, and queer fruit in everyone's family tree somewhere. Now, the wee passage that I selected today is right in the midst of a family tree. In the first book of the two books of Chronicles, right in the midst of the genealogy of Judah. It is preceded by many, this one begat that one, and followed by just as many, and that one begat this one. And right in the middle of all of them, here, Jabez happened. And it stands out. Now, there are no Sunday lectionary selections for the books of Chronicles. No surprises there. So it's not like this would ever pop up as a prescribed passage. And I do enjoy the paths that are less traveled. Now, we do not know who Jabez was, and in truth, he is not even really connected to anyone. There is no begat before him or after him. He just kind of pops up in verse 9. Like, oh, yeah, don't forget Jabez. And so his lineage in the king's tribe of Judah is only hinted at simply by association. He's there, so he must be related to someone, right? So here in the midst of a lineage, from Adam to King Cyrus the Great, here you have this wee story, kind of like a Hebrew haiku. Someone named Pain. Or rather, his name sounded like the word for pain or sorrow, and so he probably became known simply as Pain by association. Now, how would you like to carry that name? Hi, my name is Pain. What's yours? That would be a tough gig. Now, it's a lot to overcome, and you can imagine what might have been like for him growing up, picking teams for kickball. We get Esau. You get Pain. Oh no, we always get Pain. Or the complexity of dating and finding a mate. Or job fairs and seeking employment. Hi, my name is Pain and I'd like to work for you. Always carrying that around, that something to overcome. Now, I think many of us may know what it's like to carry a name with us. A name that hurts. Fag, queer, lesbo, tranny, sissy. A name and an association that may have followed us everywhere. One that we couldn't escape and perhaps that we felt we could never leave behind. And a name that we did indeed need to work to overcome. Make friends with it. Incorporated as a part of our being and sometimes wear it in a very proud fashion. Fact is, though, there may be those among us for whom those words still hurt, still cause pain, still need to be overcome in daily life. Jabez yearned to overcome the association of his name. We can hear that in the simple earnestness of his prayer. And while we don't know what exactly happened to him, we gather that he did indeed rise above the pain. Jabez is actually mentioned as a location earlier in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, has a city, has a location, has a place. It was a city known for Jewish scribes. It was a city of scribes, those who transcribed and translated the Hebrew Bible, those who could read and write and work with the Torah. There is some speculation that perhaps this city, Jabez, may have been named after Jabez. Or maybe Jabez was one of the scribes, well known, and founded the city. Or he may have worked on the book of Chronicles. It's all just interesting speculation, but I have always believed that the territory of Jabez was indeed enlarged for the greater glory of God. Now, the prayer known as the Prayer of Jabez has its supporters as well as its detractors. But for me, it's an interesting cry from the heart, an earnest and sincere plea from one who has much to overcome, who still wishes to walk in the sun, not to feel pain or to cause pain, but to be blessed under heaven in the sight of God. It reminds me of the words from a modern-day prophet. You have heard my belief about songs. We talk about Christian music and religious music, but I think that all songs are holy things. And they can be beautiful love songs, either from the Creator to creation, or to the Creator from creation, sung from God to us, or sung from us to God, if we just stop to think about it. Now, imagine this song from the prophet Simon. Imagine it has a love song sung to God Almighty, a love song to the great Maker, a love song to the Holy One, a love song to the one who hears all prayers and cries from our hearts. All those crazy nights when I cried myself to sleep, now melodrama never makes me weep anymore, because I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't the need for the pain, not since I've known you. You showed me how to leave myself behind, how to turn down the noise in my mind. Now, I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't got need for the pain, not since I have known you. Suffering was the only thing that made me feel like I was alive, though that's just how much it cost to survive in this world. Until you showed me how to fill my heart with love, how to open up and drink in all that bright light pouring down from heaven. No, I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't got need from the pain, not since I have known you. So yes, I believe that prayers can be found anywhere and everywhere, all around us, in family trees, in hidden books, in the songs we sing, and in the silence in the spaces in between our words. If only we but look, and if only we but listen. Another prayer is the Pilgrim's Prayer by Thomas Merton. Merton, whose life's journey was an amazing and wonderfully wandering path, and whose writings have inspired countless pilgrims over the years. He was born in France to Owen Merton, a New Zealand painter, and Ruth Jenkins, an American Quaker. The family moved and moved through Europe and the U.S. through and around World War I. His mother, Ruth, died of stomach cancer when he was 6. Merton bounced around a lot, boarding schools, occasionally living with extended family members. His father died of a brain tumor when he was 16. By 17, Thomas Merton identified as an agnostic and began traveling all over Europe. Now, in some very odd twists of life, he eventually became a Catholic priest and then a Trappist monk. Settling in all places, a Trappist abbey in Kentucky. Gethsemane, it's called, whose address was and is 3642 Monk's Road, Trappist, Kentucky. It was never the planned destination of his journey from the start. He simply followed his life there. And it was there that he flourished. He began working as a scribe. Eventually, he began writing poems, verse, and prose. He became a writer, a poet, and penned over 70 books, among them The Seven Story Mountain, which has been called one of the most influential religious works of the 20th century. He lived a life of wandering paradox, leaving an urban career for farm work, then finding paper and pen, retreating from the world as a Trappist monk, only to be thrust back into it as a world-famous author and poet. He took a nonviolent stand during the period of civil rights in the Vietnam War. He once wrote, quote, "The world is full of great criminals with enormous power, and they are in a death struggle with each other. It is a huge gang battle, using well-meaning lawyers, police, and clergy as their front, controlling papers, means of communication, and enrolling everybody in their armies." End quote. Near the end of his life, he summed everything up in his own inimitable style of simplicity and complexity. "My task," he said, "is only to be what I am." Sometimes it takes a life journey to find that out. My task is to be what I am. Brothers and sisters, I think our task in life as with this church is to be who we are, to be ourselves, our authentic selves, warts and all. We will never be perfect. I promise you that. We will never be perfect. And that should never be our aspiration or goal. We sometimes start late. Words get forgotten. Songs get missed. Notes are not always hit. Toilets overflow in the middle of the service. Candles burn out during worship. We need to replenish communion while communion is in process. This is life happening. It is who we are, and it is here in this workshop of our hopes and our dreams. And it is here that we begin to learn that this is life and that we live with it and that we live through it. This church has been on quite a journey over the past 2 years, and it was the Thomas Merton Prayer that was selected and used as a prayer guide into the middle of 2016. I think this community is at a place where the Thomas Merton Prayer is still exceptionally meaningful. I know it is always meaningful for me. I honestly don't know how we will pay for some of the things that the church wants to do in the future. New music, hymnals, more choices, more outreach, a heightened presence in the community. But I always try to move forward on faith, and I am not apt to let an organization sit on its hands when there is so much outreach and work to be done. I earnestly believe that the mission of this church is more important than its survival. I want you to hear that again. The mission of this church is more important than its survival. I believe it has survived thus far for a reason, but I don't believe that reason is simply for the sake of its own survival. I believe its survival is for the people that are here now and for the people yet to come and for the people in need. I believe there is work to be done and that we have only just begun. Where do we find our prayers? As we move through the rest of October, both together and apart, I would encourage us to make some of our prayers communal prayers. Prayers for this community. For example, Oh, let's say something like, "Our holy God, we have no idea where we are going. We do not see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end. We hope that we will never do anything apart from your desire. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, though we may know nothing about it. Therefore, we trust you always, even though we may seem lost and in the shadow of death. For we will not fear, for you are ever with us. And you will never leave us to face our perils alone. Amen." Or something like this: "Oh, holy God, that you would bless us indeed, that you would enlarge our territory so that we might reach more of your children in need, who need to know that they are loved, and that your hand might be upon us and with us and guide us, and that you would deliver us from evil and help us never to cause pain. Help us never to cause pain in each other, ourselves, or anyone. Amen." Or simply, "Holy God, keep us from melodrama, because we haven't got time for that pain. Not since meeting you, not since knowing you, not since turning down all that noise around us. Not since you showed us how to fill up our hearts with love, to open up and drink in all that bright light pouring around us from heaven. Amen." Prayers are everywhere. From the simple cry from the heart of an unnamed tax collector, to the poetic cries of Job, from the places of deep suffering and horrible events, to the cry of one with much to overcome, with a name nearly lost in a family tree, tucked away, buried deep in the genealogy of Judah, to a modern-day scribe, a wandering pilgrim, a monk who retreated from the world only to become famous in it, or even in the songs and the words of other modern-day prophets around us. Prophets whose words that we may hear differently when we hear them anew, has sincere cries out to you from deep within our heart spaces. The words of so many lives who have been touched and guided by your hand and blessings, without even an awareness of such miracles happening in the moment. May our lives and the life of this community be among them. Let us pray that be true always.